You know, there are things in there that probably were unnecessary, in my opinion. And so I thought, well, I'll go through it and lay it out in a way that I thought made sense for categories. And those were monitoring the base actions, which are what you do normally, wires, hazing, if you have a hazing contract, propane cannon or hydro cannon probably is, you know, probably not propane, but certainly a hydro cannon at some projects or a base thing you do for avian hazing. And then incident response, which was the trigger idea that we had if we saw, you know, something going on that was unusual, and then reporting. And then what I did then was I went into each of those and laid out, based on what I saw you guys present, I laid out what I thought were the most important items. So those are like dates, you know, what are the monitoring dates, what are the hazing dates, what do you propose to do? Gulls, terns, cormorants, other species, frequency of inspections, per day, per week, you know, what hazing methods were there, what were the hours that you're hazing, 8 hours, 16 hours, that sort of thing. And I just kind of laid it all out, and I came up with a lot of question marks. And the question marks really are, you know, a result of some of the plans not having those items in, and some of them did. So I felt that these things that I've laid out here really are the items that I'd like to see in a plan. And I realize some of this is already in the fish passage plan. I mean, I know that there's things in there, there's dates and there's actions and things, but I thought that really it's good to have everything in just one plan per project that said, here's our avian hazing, avian, the way we're going to address avian predation. And so, you know, what I'd like to ask folks to do is think about putting these plans into this sort of a category, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 category, and then addressing each of these items. And I don't, you know, that's really all I'm looking for. And then within some of these items, some of these columns, I think we need to talk. And I mean, what's sufficient versus what's maybe not sufficient in terms of either justification for the trigger numbers or the frequency of inspections, the frequency of monitoring inspections, and maybe the frequency of the hazing and things like that. You know, I thought that would be a place to have our, you know, that's kind of the discussion where folks are probably going to have the most disagreement. But at first, I just kind of wanted to get everybody kind of on the same order, the same page in terms of a presentation of the thing. That's kind of shallow.
This is the first time that you've really laid out, and you've had the opportunity after we've tried to lay out what
I'm sorry
you
to
thought you were interested in, and to try to address it, for you to come back with
too
something.
Damn busy.
And
should have done this at the start.
And I think I don't see this as something that we could answer everything today, but maybe
right.
It would be to set us up for another meeting where people would come back, because some of the inconsistency, if it's an efficiency thing, I think is reasonable, so that if we have some projects where we could all agree that we really don't have that much of an issue, then why should we have to spend more effort to try to just check boxes?
I guess what I'd like to do is you know, maybe rearrange things and have folks think about the question marks.
Yep.
Add their thoughts on that project by project, and then have another meeting where we go through each project one at a time and look at the situation there. Because I'm not asking for much. I mean, I don't want to get into a really intensive program here. I think, you know, that you guys, I mean, to me, yeah, I wrote a memo, and I'd probably get that memo out here in the next couple of days. I kind of wanted my boss to look at it first, but
Does that give an update with the new guidance in the BIOP, or is that just a general?
It touches on it. Yes,
okay.
It does touch on that. And what I kind of put in there were my thoughts on what I thought were minimums of what I thought folks should have in terms of you know, standardization, I guess. You know, I'm really thinking one inspection a day. Let folks decide when the peak timing is. When the most birds, I think the most, I figure it's in the mornings, but I don't know.
You want a peak or random?
That's going to be something to talk about, though, too.
Peak.
But, you know, okay, so you're that's kind of new, because I think we, in some of these previous meetings we've talked about, we could probably agree to just, people had a certain time where they could currently, with their current staff, free up somebody to do it, and it wasn't about a specific time of day. And so I think we're going to need to hear some feedback.
Right. That's okay. This is just food for thought. I'm just thinking, if we're going to do something where you're trying to keep track of what's going on out there, and you're going to tie that to some sort of a trigger that you might do something additional later on, it ought to be the most birds you see in a day, to me.
Lots of birds there, but you have a hazing activity going on. In my opinion, it's taken care of.
Well, that's the other.
That's basically why we, back when we first set all this up, it's why we did it the way we did it. So you'd have hazers there on site doing it when the fish were at risk. Going through all the monitoring thing, when you already have the action there, is, to me, man hours wasted that need to be elsewhere.
I am only asking that you guys walk. You walk the deck every day. You're out there every day, right?
Somebody's
out there every day doing that. My thought is, you look out in the tail race. I don't care about the format. You look out in the tail race and you go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Looks like a couple of turns. Yeah, maybe a few cormorants. Write it down. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking.
Divide it up by area and zones and all that.
I don't care.
No, we talked about they could simplify that at the last meeting. So last year there was a lot of complexity there. There was a lot of people that didn't agree with that.
Well, I care because that's how I think the spatial component is important, because if you make a decision later about how to address this, the first question people are going to ask you is, how many birds are there? So we got a number. Oh, well, what are they doing? Right, you know, they foraging or resting. So we got those two numbers.
And I don't care about resting.
Let me just make one point here, Gary.
Okay.
The next question they're going to ask you is, where are they at? Powerhouse, spillway. Oh, they're by the powerhouse. Near or far? So the way that we broke that stuff down spatially was because I had to try to answer those questions without that information. That's all.
Yeah, so I'm not going to try to answer a question.
We're trying to find
you're
going to
ask questions. People like you that are trying to ask.
And I'm not. Yeah, I'm not done. And I still think there needs to be a structure here. There needs to be some standardization, and there needs to be some counts. But it's up to these guys to do something. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to answer the question. You guys answer the question. What do you need to do? So you're out there looking. You see what's going on. Count the birds. Deal with it as you're doing with the hazing programs. You already have that. Or you guys are going to do it yourself. And that's really up to the project level folks to decide what to do. All I want to know is, are you seeing birds? What level are we seeing? Is that changing dramatically over the season? Really, that's just a tail race issue. That's really three species that I'm concerned about. I'm not worried about the phobia. I'm not worried about resting birds. I don't care about resting birds. I want to know about foraging birds, because resting birds depend on whether you can see the reef downstream or the island downstream or not. If the island's too far, you're not going to see it. What does that mean? It doesn't tell you anything. So to me, it's the foraging birds that are there. It's mostly gulls, can be terns in some locations. Cormorants are probably more interesting than anything else just because of the actions going on in the estuary. I'm not sure that anybody's going to be able to do a lot about that, except maybe ban to chase them off of the forbay once in a while just because they're sitting there close enough to get. But
I think that's not looking at the resting birds, because you look downstream of the Dalles, you have a bunch of birds resting on the rocks. You might have only 30, 40 of them out foraging. They're just cycling.
I know.
So to know how many you have cycling is good information.
If you want, you guys can do all the more you want. I mean, that's the thing, too, is you want to add to this, you can do pelicans and you can do cormorants and barn swallows and everything. I don't care. You guys can keep track of all the birds you want at the projects. So I'm just saying, as minimum, what I would be most concerned about is gulls and terns in the tail race, actively feeding, looking at that and saying, yeah, that's normal. And your hazing activities are ongoing, and so you know kind of what normal is. And if all of a sudden things aren't normal anymore, that we're seeing a lot more birds build up, and that's a subjective thing, but it's you're going to notice it. Then we want to know that, because then we're going to need to put more resources at it. You guys are going to have at your, you know, your toolbox, you're going to have at your fingertips some things you can do, but then there's stuff that maybe you need more to do. And one of those would be more money, more hazing, boat hazing, escalation of those activities, or the other could be that we need to go after the colony of gulls. Bob's pointed out, you know, maybe, you know, this just isn't working, guys. Projects can't handle it. We're going to have to do something more drastic, and that's necessary too. And that's why the last thing I put in here was effectiveness. Effectiveness assessment. Nobody had that in their plans, but I want an assessment of effectiveness, and that's has nothing to do with how good this is for fish. All I want to know is, do you guys believe that what you're doing at the project is working? Is it working? A simple, subjective thing.
Yes or no answer. You're about effectiveness hazing. I guess what you're talking about.
I'm exactly. I just want to know if you guys think at the end of the year, really, you know, maybe week. I don't know, but certainly by the end of the year, because weekly you're not going to really know what's going on. But by the end of the year, you ought to be able to say, you know, this just isn't working, guys. We need more stuff. We need something else to be able to do here. I think that has to be part of it. So, you know, and that's really going to be up to each biologist saying, you know, this thing just isn't working out for us.
And that's a tough one to judge if you have the hazers there the whole time, because the only way you're really going to know is to take them away for a while.
Well, I know, because to me, the hazing is part of it. So you're saying you're going to haze for these months, these days, mm-hmm. of the year. That's the program. You're going to do it every year.
So you're looking at that as a baseline that we're comparing against.
Right.
The hazers already there and any problems that you still have.
Yeah, because this is okay. Only for the projects. This is only to keep fish off, or keep birds off the fish at the projects. It's not to get at what are the birds doing region-wide, or doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's for another group to deal with. That's the Inland Avian group to deal with that. All I care about is the projects. I know your guys are busy. I've been out there. I know what it's like. You got other things to do. So I'm looking at how to make this as simple as possible for you guys and yet still meaningful to us in terms of a database that we can, you know, address year to year to year for the project level work that you're doing. So that's all I'm looking for. Others,
were we going to try to perhaps craft a couple sentences that could be standardized for the weekly report so that was simple for these guys too? You know, we don't have to maybe do it today, but weekly reports have started again. And, you know, a simple way of reporting to me on a weekly basis is to add a couple numbers into a weekly report. You're just going in and do you guys agree with that? I mean,
He's got a really good one. I don't know if everybody wants to do what he's doing, but.
But that's been what FFU put together. We just basically cut and paste that.
For example, there was a max and a mean, or a mean.
Right.
I leave it up to the guys at the projects to come up with. But what I do want to see, I think, in the weekly reports would be at least maybe a table with each day in it and what you're seeing in terms of birds those days in your count.
So that could just be count data by day, table with count data by day.
That's it.
And then would there really need to be any sentences? I guess that's the other thing. You know, these weeklies are kind of something that people do pretty routinely. Not a whole lot of, let me sit down. They don't have a lot of time to sit down and think theoretically, what does this mean, this kind of stuff.
I'm not
really
asking for that.
Just reporting weekly. Yeah.
I'd say it's a block table with 7 days and a number for each species that you're concerned with. I'd like to see gulls, terns, and cormorants in there. And cormorants are something that arguably we don't really need, but
I'm surprised you'd say that considering what we watched happen in the estuary.
It's not their problem.
My point is,
if they want to deal with that, then let the people who are paying for that deal with that.
We went from seeing the largest tern colony, right, in the estuary, and now we have the largest cormorant colony.
Right.
It's not a far stretch to expect they're going to move up forever. To me, it makes sense.
That's not their problem.
Fish eating birds.
That's not his problem.
Well, if you don't monitor them, we're not going to have their increase.
That's right.
Expect to have lethal take up here available for both terns and cormorants this year.
I wish David was on the phone. I guess that would be, I mean, really, I see that as the Inland Avian guys. If they want, if through CRFM we want to fund monitoring, and they should fund monitoring of the actions that go on in the estuary, then that's a separate group. If they want to come in and tell each of these guys that they need to be monitoring for that purpose, that's fine with me, but that's not what I want. I'm telling them they need to monitor what they're doing, and they should be looking up and down the region to see what the effect is, but I don't think that's the responsibility of the project.
And we're not staffed for it, and we don't have a perk problem.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility to do that. You've got other things to do, and I'm not asking, I would never ask the projects to do that. I would ask Portland District or Walla Walla District, whoever's doing the action, to make sure that they hired people to be out in the region, Roby or whoever, to monitor that.
I don't even know if it matters about the actions they take necessarily. I think you're just going to see an expansion of double form rents just like we saw on the East Coast.
I agree.
It's just going to happen. It's just
I agree.
It's for the latest trends.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why I'd like to see cormorants in here, Nathan. That's why I left it in there, even though I don't think that the project can do much about it, because chasing cormorants around is kind of futile.
Yeah. Kind of like grief.
So, you know, I mean... So really, you know, it really turns and, you know, and the way I wrote this thing up, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not even sure if I care. If you look out there and see white birds, bigger than a barn swallow, smaller than an eagle, lump them together and count them. That's what I care about. Because they're all doing about the same thing. And really what we're trying to do is trying to haze that group of critters out of there. That's what we're trying to do. Or at least minimize their impact. Keep them moving. Keep them honest. That's it.
So the only thing really hazeable is gulls, correct?
Turns seem to haze okay from boats. That's another experience coming from the mid-seas.
They haze a little harder.
Yeah.
I mean, but there are far fewer of them at the projects,
yeah,
too, so I'm just not as worried about that as I am with gulls. You know, that's, I mean, it went past Miller Rocks, and the party's on already.
Yeah, in there.
So, and I understand, Bob, I know you put that Miller Rock stuff in there, but it really, you know, that doesn't, it's that, just, I would just keep it to your...
Yeah. I think what happened with Miller Rock is unfortunate. I think had they kind of understood the crushing of the pit tags, that island might have ranked higher
it
than
would
they
have.
Did through this
it
initial inland avian process.
Right.
And then even after we knew the information, it didn't seem to really, no one seemed to care that much.
I know.
I was dying.
It didn't seem to sink in.
I know. You've vindicated.
Yay! It's a hollow victory.
Yeah, it's a hollow victory, because what are we doing about it?
It will.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I talked to Langley the other day, and he said, man, the worst thing we ever did was get in the bird business. And we're going to get out of it as soon as we can. And I was like, okay.
How about today?
How about today?
You're not getting out of it. RPA 48.
Well,
that applies directly to the...
We may be out of it by virtue of insufficient personnel. A crew of 8 x 3 down. So,
well, I mean, the thing you're going to be able to report is that the birds are there and that they're not leaving, and that your effectiveness is crap.
Well, we've got the hazers there. It's a bite-sized crew. We contract that out. So
you're saying
he's worried about the monitoring component.
I said it's just the monitoring that's the pain. We've already dealt with the hazing.
Right. Well, I'm trying to keep this monitoring. You see where I'm going with it.
Yeah, but the thing is, if I got somebody on the separator, they can't leave the separator for more than 15 minutes.
If it takes them 15 minutes to make that count,
to standing next to it. If they walk from there down to the tail race where they can see and back, they've already exceeded 15 minutes.
Well, who does your fishway inspections? I mean, who goes out and walks the...
I have the state do it twice a week, and we tend to do it twice a week. But we're required to do it 3 times total.
Good grief. I guess wasn't the bio in charge of that project. Got these guys going out, 3 times a day?
Of binoculars, and can the guy in the separator really just, like, stand up, walk over to the end of the raceways and, like, look out and make just a general assessment?
You just got to count white birds, but I mean, if you really want to know what they are, you've got to have
binoculars. Yeah, I would say leave the binoculars at home unless you really want to know.
Okay.
And you don't need binoculars to see within the 4-bay, the BRZs, the tail race BRZ. I don't care about the 4-bay.
Some of us do.
I know.
You miss a lot of animals that way.
That's okay. You know, I'm still interested in clouds of birds rather than individuals of birds. I'm interested, I mean, any good biologist can do an estimate. So you're looking out there across that tail race. Your dams aren't that big. You look out across there and you go, well, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. That's going to give you at least a pretty good thumbnail estimate of what's going on out there. What I saw in here was an order of magnitude of 10 increase before an action occurred. So that's what I got from Granite, was a 100, you know, a 10x increase. You're going to be able to see that if that's what our action criteria are to kick this thing up. I'm not sure that's good. You know, for him it was, because you went from 9.5 to 95. Okay, I can go with that as a daily. But I don't know, 250. I don't know. I mean,
that's a lot of
birds. Or at McNary, we had 360 or something like that. Well, I'm looking out there, I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of birds. I hope we don't see that. And I, you know, with McNary's, it was a stepped response, and I'd rather hit them hard. If you tripped a response point, where you think, you know, we got to do something more, I would take every tool in the toolbox and I'd throw it at them. So you don't have to go step, step, step. You just don't let them get to that point if you can help it. Yeah. I know there's realistic.
I guess staying with the monitoring, isn't it more important if someone is staff limited, that maybe not every day, but 3 times a week they're out there?
See, that's let's talk about that. I mean, I'd like to see everybody kind of put together what they think is, because then I was looking at the individual columns here and thinking, well, some of these look pretty good, some of them, oh boy, you know, how come it's 3 times, 4 times? You know, I expected people to be out there every day walking the deck, so I just assumed that.
Well, let's hear what people say too, because my recollection, and this has been 10 years ago at least, from Goose, was that, you know, if birds were there, and the time of day didn't really make that much difference. So if we were spilling and there was a lot of birds. So
I don't care what time of day.
Why do we care what time of day? Why does it have to be consistent? Okay, so that's just...
It doesn't.
Something as we go through these further discussions. But we started out there, and I'm not sure it's important.
At Lobo, I could completely take birds off of our ladder inspections, and I could have somebody step out the front door and count them in over the tail race. Okay? Every day.
There you go.
Once a day.
There you go. Thank you.
So, Gary, where you're coming from, you're saying you're looking for actively foraging birds, not necessarily those roosting on the shore.
No, I know people disagree, but I think that if you do that over a period of time, those are the birds that are doing the damage. And if you're doing that when you think most of the birds are active, mornings are good because birds are hungry. They're not sitting around preening their feathers at that time of day. They're out working. So, you know, if you go out in the morning and look and see what you got, over time, you're going to get a decent sample, I think. You know, it's going to be variable. It isn't perfect, but it'll give you a decent sample. It'll give you a sense of what's going on out there, and that's really all I'm looking for. It's just a sense that we're good, we're able to maintain what we've maintained over the years, because the key here, and the final thing I make in my memo, is that, you know, we're stuck with a couple of issues, a couple of realities here. One is RPA 48, which says that you will do these things, gull deterrence, that we'll do it as we'll monitor, and that we'll try to make it as effective, that's an assumption, as we possibly can. That's an RPA, that's a you must do. Mm-hmm. The other one is that when you're doing these things on an annual basis, when you're doing them when you do performance standards, you need to keep it up. You can't do a performance standard out there, prove up on the biop in terms of survivals, and then walk away.
I knew that was coming.
We need to have some consistency, and we need to maintain at least the level of ability to haze and the kind of picture you're seeing in the tail race year after year after year. And if that starts to change, we want to know that, because that means that we're not maybe achieving the standards and that we need to revisit that. So that's the importance. That's the key. That's why I'm so concerned about it. Just want to make sure that we maintain that level of harassment, hazing, and effectiveness at these projects that we had when we did the standard. Yes.
So effectiveness is an interesting thing. I had most of our bios at a meeting last week, and one of the things that I kicked out was that I had a discussion with the guy that does the airport avian deterrent, and whether down the line, and I think this would maybe be a year from now or something like that, we wouldn't want to maybe have somebody come in just for a day or so, work with the Project BIOS to become effective with the tools that are out there. Just because you get into a routine, like, you know, Mark Plummer feels very strongly, has a lot of interest, and you guys may too. But, you know, and I don't know if there's value. I'm throwing it out now. You know, feel free to give me feedback. It would require putting together, you know, a small contract, and it could probably be to a small business. Get somebody out either to a meeting first just to introduce what they do as they rotate through things and what they found over time to be effective. A lot of the tools are the same. They hire APHIS like we do. And whether I want to see the program grow in a direction that our biologists are empowered to be effective as
yeah,
well.
I do.
Right now we're really reliant on APHIS, and I think we need to proactively learn to manage APHIS. So we've had a couple of examples up here where we're pretty late coming into the game on APHIS, and so we need to talk about that. You know, not, and you know, we're the core. We're at least while I don't want you guys to take this personally. You know, we're not as efficient as somebody that works for like a private firm somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, that we're just not driven
it's
that
government.
Way. We want to try the latest. You know, Mark Plummer, he's throwing whatever comes out. He's throwing it at it. Well, is there a better way to rotate through? Is there a better way, big picture, to look at this so that you can be more effective? Is a little bit of what I thought we might gain by just possibly considering bringing somebody in down the line.
Yeah.
So
and from the project's perspective, too, I mean, like we're spending $68,000 a year just feeding birds from feeding in the terrace. Well, if there's some machine that we can set out there that'll keep them out
yeah.
there as well,
yeah,
and you have a one-time cost of $10,000. What the hell are we doing spending $68,000
yeah.
a year?
That's great, yeah. You know, and that's why I'd like to see the monitoring, just so that you know the effectiveness that you come up with new machinery, whatever you're using, new methods, new techniques.
The reality is, though, the reason that we end up spending that kind of money is this one of those aspects of life where, yeah, they come up with lots of machines that they've thrown at it. It just takes a person. I think it's just that. Situation. That's like probably the best viewing. We have a trailer that we towed around from different spots. Yeah, sure. You can have sound trailer over there. I like, you know, there's always good ideas that are coming up, but bird deterrents are much bigger than just the damn fish ways. Airports is a great example of where, because it's human health and welfare, they people die when they run the birds. So they worry about that a lot.
I'm trying to think of Felix.
Well, regardless, they do. No one's going with a silver bullet yet.
You don't know Felix?
What's Felix?
It's a gun we had in the Navy that fires like
oh, the Felix. Oh, I know that. Yeah. Oh, no. I know what that is.
Yes.
Yeah, Puffy
we
Magic
can get
Dragon.
One.
Can we get one?
We're the Army. We can get anything.
DOD?
It's a
DOD.
Chain
gun.
Oh, that's what I thought. That came from Kairos.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm out of here.
See you. Hawaii, here he comes.
Ta-ta.
Aloha.
Hey, keep your foot out of the burn.
Mahalo.
Cruise control. Cruise control. You got a trouble.
Yeah.
He has lead in his shoes.
CDY. Alright.
So, it's unfortunate it costs that much money to do it, but I think it's...
Well, I think what I'm hoping is we know there's going to be some level of using APHIS, but instead of seeing something that's going to just keep ramping, that we can control it here, use the tools, and there was some suggestion that by rotating through and using the tools, that's kind of the agenda of where they're at, kind of out with the private. And I just feel like, you know, we're always trying to throw the latest, but I also see, just in my short time, we're always ramping up on how much we're using APHIS, too. I'd like to see if there's some way to plateau that at some level, and then other actions here. And So, I mean, I'm throwing it out now. I'm not in a hurry. I think it would take us a year or so of some monitoring to talk about our needs, and maybe at some point we could get somebody in here to talk if people think that they're interested. But I really think we're shifting now to, due to the funding restraints, you know, we really need to be thinking about empowering our projects to be active.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. That's kind of why I'm...
Yeah, you know,
going down this road.
We're trying to be reasonable here with a lot that you're asking for. We just have to find, there's a few individuals that aren't here, and we need to have opinions, because there's probably, in the past, we've had some disagreement on level of effort,
we have.
I think.
Well, and one of them, I mean, kind of what kicked all this off is McNary. And the thing I'm concerned about, and Carl, we've kind of been going through this table I put together, which has kind of the categories and the most important issues, at least to me, from a avian hazing program. And the one thing I caught in your report was the boat hazing. That you're talking about doing boat hazing. And the one thing I just got through mentioning was that anything that we do during a year when we are doing a performance test, you're kind of stuck with doing. If you make the test, if you miss the test, you know, whatever. But if you make the test, then, so think about it, you know, I kind of wanted to say, look before you leap in here, because I, you know, then I thought my boss would probably say, don't say this.
Is it boat hazing? Should possibly screw up the performance test, is that a concern?
Well, no, my concern is that if it really works well and you meet the standard, mm-hmm. you're kind of stuck with having that out there, unless we can all agree that it really wasn't that big of a component of the, mm-hmm. you know, you make the standard by 4 or 5 points, well, maybe that much,
yeah.
but a few points, then we could all say, well, yeah, probably wouldn't be a big deal if you pulled it away, but if you just squeak over,
yeah,
yeah, or if you just under.
Two things this year, the boat hazing 3 days a week, plus lethal take, and, you know,
yeah.
so those are definitely things that could really affect it.
And so the question is, you know, do you really need to do two things in a year you're doing a performance standard test, or would you be better off? Now, the only caveat there is that in order for them to do lethal take, they still have to have a boat. So, in a way,
right.
if Carl were to back off and rely early on lethal take, then it would be a personnel matter whether or not APHIS could ramp up fast enough if he wanted to put boat hazing online.
Right.
I think he's already funded to do boat, but certainly you always have the opportunity
to consider.
I remember at John Day being nervous about the, because we got the $7 million avian line grid, and then we got the $300,000 USDA contract, and then we did a performance test. And it's like, okay, we pass, we are stuck with both of these. And we don't know how effective the hazing is, really. When
right.
it comes down to it, might have done just fine with the $7 million
avian line grid. I think that's a good idea, actually.
So,
if you look at comparing that 09 year to the years after that, I think it would really, well, anywhere John Day, the best handle on the hazing. But we also have a handle on consumption there, right? We talked about this in the write-up. The actual impact these birds are having are usually tenths of a percent
uh-huh.
of
right.
fish that are moving past the project.
Right. Which is what we got, right. The key, and you know, the Dalles is a prime example. Here's, you know, the Corps of Engineers, and I brought this up with Mike the other day. I mean, he understands this, is that the Dalles didn't make the standard for steelhead with the first test. Put in the wires, additional hazing, made the standard. So and so now the question is, well, did you make the standard? The way that we look at things is, no, you didn't. You got to start over again. You missed it. You missed it for 1 year. Well, it was only a couple of tenths of a percent. We put in the hazing. You know, the story from the Corps of Engineers is, we did all this stuff. We made it, so believe it, that last test is the real test. Okay, we'll take that. But don't back off.
Yeah.
Don't back off, because you've made your case that that's what got you over the standard was bird, wires, and hazing.
So now the reality is, there might be a day that we can't afford hazing. It's either replace a weir or pay for hazers to sit in a truck and shoot pyros.
Right.
You know, what's it going to be?
Right.
What's it I mean, we don't want to back off, but we don't have a choice.
Well, you'll have to do another performance test or flunk.
Well, we definitely won't be able to afford
you
that.
Don't want to well, you know, then Congress will have to get involved and we'll have to talk, you know, it isn't working. You know, what do we do? You know, say there's no reasonable prudent alternative, we're done. I don't know. That's for somebody over our pay grade.
It is. Let's approach it a year at a time here, too, and see what we can do, see how we do, come back a year from now if we have some more rough points that have popped up. Because I think Gary's at a point now that's very different than our first meeting. We were really, like, button heads on a lot of stuff, and you kind of notched down a little bit to, like, try to be realistic more than, you know, would you... I don't mean to sound like it was a horrible meeting or anything, but I think you have kind of changed your attitude. You came in wanting everything then. You kind of sized down to be more realistic to what can fit into these guys' normal routines that would still give you some information, just baseline monitoring.
I have some experience in herding cats.
Yeah, like he sends around his files, I could fill out a lot of this stuff, right? I mean, most of this stuff, I think everybody knows about the project.
No, I think it needs to be, well, you got to stop and think about what we're trying to accomplish here versus the bigger picture. And I think there are really two different things. And I said this a long time ago in the Inland Avian meeting, that when those guys wanted to include in the Inland Avian effort the project level hazing, and I said no. And this was years ago. I said, no, that really belongs at the project level. That's an O&M issue. Separate them. And then, so you need to think about it then. Well, if you do that, then what does the program look like for one versus the other? I still think the Inland Avian is on the hook for looking at the big picture. They're on the hook for looking at these gull colonies. They're on the hook for looking at the effects of their other actions in the estuary or potholes or Crescent Island. Right. That's for those guys to worry about and look at in that bigger picture. For the projects, really, it's your tail BRZ race. Tail race.
Kind of hard to separate the two, though.
Not for you guys. That's all I'm saying is you guys don't have to worry about that. I do.
Well, but
I don't see the project
your
level
data
guys
might
have to worry
push the need for a habitat action that
yes.
might get kicked over to that.
Absolutely. If you guys are
yes.
saying this isn't working, it isn't working, it isn't working, it isn't
then
working.
Then it kicks over to them to deal with the island.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll take that. That's. But I need to hear it. I need to hear you guys say, this isn't working. We can't maintain what we've seen in the past because of whatever. Something's going on out there. And the bird numbers are increasing, and our efforts aren't working as well as they used to. And we just can't do it.
I just got a feeling that, based on my old experience as an old wildlife control agent, that the two things we have going this year to make a major difference. One, they get the bones right up the throat there. The hazers can't reach that hot spot, where that is.
For McNary.
They can't reach them from shore. And the Havis still won't let them go out on the dang outboard pipe. It's ridiculous, but they won't go out there. But with that boat, we can be right up the gut and add lethal take to that. I think that's going to have a significant
I think so too. I think
find out what happens.
I mean, I'd love to see it happen. I hope you guys can do it, but I do caution you.
I'm aware of the risk, but I'm also trying to save fish. Basically, that's going to do it.
Absolutely.
In Walla Walla, they let Core do the hazing, right? That's allowable.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys could go out on the pipe and haze.
It's project by project specific, and the only project we have, right?
People can.
Well, that's what I mean.
Okay, so I guess what he's asking you then, Carl, is do you intend to have some of your staff hazing from out on in the outfall?
Our staff haven't hazed yet. You have to go through a certain amount of training to do that. Something we could consider, I guess. But
can I volunteer?
Well. I guess.
Jerry, a tourist attraction, aren't you? 25 cents. Haze the birds.
I'm not afraid of that outfall. I was involved in the design of it.
People to go out there.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as the use of the lethal, we need to discuss with the project bios, but how we're going to implement that in terms of when it will be used. Like, in the monitoring plans, we have some triggers identified. And some toolbox actions, and some of those actions are lethal, but maybe it needs to be further broken down into, will just remain a toolbox item when the trigger is met, or will some projects actually be doing it for their baseline activities?
Right. Yeah, I see that just some of those are just an escalation. Although with Mike, that avian, whatever it was, poison, I think that needs to come off there. I don't think that's a good idea. Let's take that off the table, please.
And on the lethal part, I think just having the option in for APHIS to use lethal tape when it's
getting in trouble in a hurry.
Just have that just be something in their field as they're doing their daily work.
Right.
Where if things are getting a little ridiculous, they got some stubborn gulls, they drop one or two. Not have to come back to us and say, here's what we got, should we ramp it up? Because while they're over talking to me, guess what? the birds are in doing their thing, you know. But let's keep moving around the station.
The thing I kind of learned about birds, and I said this over and over again, they know when you're just kidding. It doesn't take a long to figure out you're just kidding.
Yeah. You know, this is a good experiment because I talked to Langsley about that. He said it doesn't work. Lethal won't work, and the Portland's not going to do it. And I'm thinking, really? Okay.
Worked for me. Years ago.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Well, we've seen the bug stuff work at John Day, too. I mean, we went from 300 birds to tens of birds.
It made a huge
Once
mess.
They pulled the shotgun out?
Yeah. No.
Just the hazel.
Being close enough to the goals, especially the goals. Maybe deterrence and others, not as
but,
much.
Well, maybe in the Portland district, we can have, and on the big river, we can have a boat in every dam, but these guys aren't.
There is a big difference between a little dam and a big dam.
Yep.
You know, you're talking $3 million or better to put in a wire array like John Day has. For $3 million, you can do a lot of boat hazing and a lot of lethal take.
Yeah.
And you don't have the headache of maintaining those wires.
Right, right. It's just that you need to keep doing it. That's the only thing is that you kind of step into that.
Right.
But I'd like to see how the lethal works. I mean, we've been trying to get that back for years.
I'd be surprised. It seems like if you go through the process of applying for that, they're going to require you to do some level of hazing first. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds to me like lethal spitting, some of it is going to end up in the toolbox. So you're going to have to justify to some degree. We hazed birds for this many hours over this many days.
Absolutely.
I like the situation you're talking about, Bill, where there is more autonomy to the USDA agent to do their job. But I think that probably, I would be prepared for full pass politically to go down that.
Well, it's what they used to do. They tell you what they told them to do. It was more effective when they were doing it.
When the APHIS guys?
When they were doing lethal tape. Because they were not wild. That's with one exception at Lomar.
That's what got us in trouble.
They always used it.
Judiciously.
Really judiciously, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was that one time during that one tour when they had 32 of them at their feet. And, probably wasn't great timing there.
Yeah. There was a few of those kind of incidents.
You guys still have lethal take, right?
We're just getting it again.
Just getting it. Oh, okay.
We expect to be able to implement it.
So where are you guys in the process then?
So we're in the process of finishing the pathology to start routing for signature for the igniter. That'll be for goals and for a smaller number of cormorants. Goals being Ringdale, California. And then as far as the permitting, APHIS is handling that. They're just using their existing accreditation permit through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And they may have some extra birds on there, but they don't have to use for Grant County DUD. And then if they need more birds, then they would request it to the permitting office. And according to my discussion with the guy out in Portland for APHIS, he's the assistant state director. He was saying they have a relationship with the permitting office where they think they can get the numbers added on pretty easily. So that's kind of your ongoing discussion between the permitting office and APHIS. So that's where we're going at.
With the lethal, are you guys, it was really unclear in the separate plans as to whether that was a toolbox item for after you've met some trigger needed a more draconian method or if that was going to be used throughout.
We just assumed it was sitting there. APHIS could use it as needed.
The reason I say that is I'm thinking about evaluation. How do we know that in order to convince another district that and I don't know if you guys need a Bonneville, but I think maybe Bob could use some practice.
We can use
that it's effective.
Yeah, well, this is what I like them to say. They're going to say shotgun goals at Dowell's, or are they going to say do it management action at Miller Rock?
Well, yeah, that's
the wild card.
Another question.
Right.
Well, getting back to the example I had, though, they routinely have lethal take at the airports. And they just use it and manage it effectively with APHIS. And so they're interacting with Fish and Wildlife Service. There's an issue there, and everybody keeps it comfortable. When they get to a point that it's a trigger, it kicks into a habitat action. They go out and start working on habitat to try to you know, not have too many birds hanging around there that are always a problem.
If I see, you know, if we see that you guys are having to shoot too many birds or you can't make it, I mean, you shoot your limit, okay, now they're all over the place, we can't do anything.
Right.
Pretty soon, you're either going to have to take more or we're going to have to figure out, you know, we go after the colonies, yeah, and drop numbers in the whole region. But I see that as kind of a... What I'd like to know first is how are we going to evaluate that lethal is actually better?
Well, the fact of the matter is, so long as they are maintaining those numbers low, feeding out the tail race, we are effective already. Because that is the target.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So in the event that it exceeds the number and they have the ability to do the lethal take, then we got a problem.
Yeah. Well, that might be, I'm just trying to convince Mike. Guys like that, you know, they're going to ask the question, well, are they sure they got it? Okay, I'll come. Phone number. Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, if somebody asks the question, well, yeah, they got lethal, but it's just the drop in the bucket isn't doing anything. It'd be nice to be able to say.
Yeah. We try to evaluate just hazing versus non-hazing. And you got to talk about experience of the bird through time. You know, you do a block design, like shot birds this day, I didn't shoot them the next day. Is there a carryover effect of learning from the lethal? So it gets pretty sticky.
Don't carry a stick out there because then they're...
Yeah, probably pair design would be good where you look at a project like McNary and the Dalles that have our highest bird numbers, and then you implement different treatments of each project and compare them over time.
The only other simple way would be if this wasn't...
2 years of that already.
If it was something where you didn't haze while as the birds built up, do your normal hazing, not lethal. And then you see that you have too many birds, and you hit your trigger. Then you do lethal hazing, and you see, well, you know, that didn't, off they went, it worked. How do you treat lethal hazing? Is this a last-ditch effort?
No.
So these birds are totally, you know, naive, and they're just flying around doing their thing. And then you break the guns out, and they really... really drops them because they're naive birds, or do you do it all the time to maintain?
The guys that are out there doing it, they know when they have stubborn birds because they're out there doing it all the time, right? And they're tracking the birds.
Yeah, and there's those that are going.
They come in and they actually tell their stories, you know?
Yeah.
So having
it's
that.
It's not like something we would hold till the end of the season and we had a problem. I mean, I think it's anticipated that these guys have that, they have it with them all the time, and periodically they're going to use it because that's part of the deterrent.
Okay, then what I'd like to see then in this effectiveness assessment is you guys say, hey, you know, it works.
If we do a good monitoring program this year like we had the last couple of years, I think we'll have pretty good baseline evidence. We'll have pre and post lethal. I think that's
what we're talking about here is doing away with that and going just to counting the birds of eagle over the tail race. That's what you were saying, right?
Right.
So,
that is,
all the multiple species and the doing ladder inspections, all that would be off the board, and I'll just have somebody out counting the birds in the morning.
Now you got apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You're right. You're right.
But are you worried about that this species thing is not going to be that big a challenge? There's three or four.
Exactly.
Is it going to take any more time than it would one group of non-foraging or whatever?
There's a big difference in how much time it takes that we're going to be doing it between going out and counting feeding birds over the tail race versus doing an inspection and writing down all the different species groups. Yeah, big difference.
What do we need? Do we need for the permit any kind of effectiveness assessment? Ken?
I'm not aware of any permit. My discussion with Davis of any
effectiveness
in the department of that.
Or any kind of assessment. So it's not required to retain or maintain the ability to lethally haze as long as you're within your permit numbers. That's, you know, is Fish and Wildlife Service going to come back and say, well, what did you guys put together? You know, what's your assessment? Did this work? We won't give you another permit until you tell us it worked.
Of course, there's another little confusion factor here. For like my dam, I try to weigh heavily the hazing towards the time when you have the bulk of the fish coming through. Okay, and at the end of all that, the hazer is gone. The money's used up. Right? Well, okay. So at the end of that, the fish numbers drop way down. Okay, but the bird numbers for a while are going to be higher. Does that indicate a big problem? How effectively are they feeding? very few fish at risk, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I'm not asking you to assess that.
I wouldn't want that zone for that to be some kind of big fly.
There's an assessment there. I mean, you can make that judgment. Mm. I'm not asking you to assess when you're not using, when you're not doing anything. And that's, yeah. And I wanted to talk about the day, the hours, days, and months that we actually do this. I think we need to settle on what's the appropriate duration, because that's the cost, a lot of that. You know, and we just want to make sure that we're covering, you know, the bulk of the run. We don't have to cover the tails of the run. We don't need to go to December.
Right.
I think in one of them I saw December 15 or something, and I thought, no, we don't need that. Shed, doesn't matter. So, you know, we need to define that as carefully as we can. There may be a bulk, you know, a heightened season when you really go at it, and then there's maybe tails on that when you don't need to have as much, but you still need something just to keep,
yeah, some of that
keep the birds
really
honest.
Difficulty because APHIS, for remote projects like mine, they have a really hard time finding people to come out for short seasons. Okay?
Right.
They look locally, there's nobody.
Yeah, understand that. So to maintain the program, you got to have at least, what, 4 months, 6 months? 4 months, anyway.
Maybe four, really. The bird numbers tend to just track the fish numbers, you know. So the bulk of the thing is from
April
until about June. Again. So April, May, June, 3 months.
So we saw it down river, too.
Yeah.
And then odd years like last year, where the fish drizzled out a little slower, well, then you see a little more
consistent.
We talked about that down the day.
I
the thing is that we, you know, we could set up different things out there, okay? But basically, the hazing thing would be pretty much out unless I had enough crew that we could
go out and harass them once in a while. Yeah.
But I think that would be effective, efficient, reasonable.
What's your call? That's the way I see it.
What's that?
That's the way I see it.
Do we have an agenda right now? Will we be working through one or not? I don't even know.
We
didn't
have an agenda because we're going to work off Gary's handout. I think effectiveness, though, one of the things that you guys just brought up is one of the reasons that I brought up the need to be able to interact effectively with APHIS is that we are a shorter season. We're away from big metropolitan areas. I think there are some issues with some of the staff to get hired over here and their effectiveness. And so that's kind of part of our problem. I know in-house we talked about whether or not APHIS should be our long-term, but really APHIS is the best tool. And so for us, managing APHIS is a new thing on the horizon that we're trying to put kind of on the BIOS plates. So I think we're tracking the same thing. It's going to sort of take some time, and that's why I'm thinking it may well take a little coaching as well, you know, possibly from other people that are actively doing that. Because I was kind of surprised when I was talking to the guy from the airport up there, you know, and he kind of said they had the same problem over in Seattle sometimes. Once in a while, you just had to kind of scream in on somebody that it was just their job, you know, and kind of get things lined back around. And I'm not sure that we're doing too much. You know, I mean, these guys know how much of that, but it's one right now. It's one more thing on their plate. So
right.
If we can just, you know.
Well, I want to keep what's on the Project BIOS plate very simple,
easy,
and succinct. I mean, and the effectiveness assessment, I think, is really up to you guys. You're out there. It's your responsibility. You're there to get fish through that project. That's your job. So. You know, I mean, you guys are going to be looking out there and seeing what's going on and have the best feel for how well that works. And I think that's the most valuable to me, personally. You have a vested interest in that.
Well, you get a species like steelhead that love to travel shallow. I wish he should run deep like everybody else does. like the sub-yearlings, for example, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Birds don't get very many of those. They can't swim that deep, you know.
Well, so that's kind of a good question for you, Rick. I mean, I know that probably George is the guy that maybe put together your plan, but if you were king for a day and you're here as the rep, is there really any reason to have a particularly active program through December 15th?
Through December 15th?
Yeah, I mean, Little Goose has April 1 through December 15th.
We're taking... our bird hazing stuff is on our juvenile fish inspection form. That goes through December 15th. So
yeah,
we're just counting birds because it's on the form.
Okay, so it's monitoring
rather than... Yeah, and I put question marks behind things I wasn't quite sure about or thought that, you know, is this what you really meant or not? I wasn't sure if you really meant you were going to monitor all the way through December 15th.
Yeah, we if this becomes a SOP or something like that, we don't want to be doing that. We're doing it because we can.
Yeah. Well, and I'm okay with you. You know, again, I'm kind of talking minimums here, and you guys can do whatever you want.
It's where the core.
Yeah.
There are fish we care about, and there are fish we don't care about. The pelicans can have all the shad.
Shad they can eat.
And they fill up on them too.
Yeah, that's great.
They're eating shad, they're not eating salmon.
It's just that many more will come back.
The more, what do you have? Pelicans.
Yeah, then we're not going to do a doggone thing about that.
I was thinking, Ben, I think by introducing Kelly Hills to Bonneville there, you know, because they sure take care of those sea lions.
Biological warfare.
We pressed so much luck on that in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the
interdependence.
I guess they could probably survive there for a little while.
Well, I think we have a reasonable, a lot to think about, but you've captured a lot here, and it sounds like you're going to wrap up with maybe some more information.
I will. I got a memo here I've kind of put together. I didn't get a chance. It's late yesterday that I got this done, so I didn't get a chance to get it through.
So we'll have to see how the season goes, and depending, you know, maybe after the May meeting or something, we could have another get together of the group, if not before.
I would like to see that. You know, I'd like to see us have plans in this fish passage plan as addendums if we can.
Okay, so would you like to have a meeting in April then?
Yeah, I think as soon as you guys have a chance to go back and kind of massage it a little bit and look at my question marks and see if you can fill them in. And
I think we would maybe try to, we'll have a table. We don't have to draft any language for the weekly. We'll just have a table like you laid it out. That's sweet. I think that's pretty simple. I haven't heard anybody complain about that. That's like filling in your fallback table, right?
I don't know if this has been sent to us electronically or not, but if you want to send it out electronically, we'll leave it as a budget line.
Yeah, you can fill them in. I'm really more interested in you filling in using your. You started out, you've got a plan. Everybody wrote up a plan. I'm really more interested in you guys just kind of using this as a template,
yeah.
And then
filling in the blanks.
Yeah, filling in the blanks in your plan. Yeah. So you just have four sections with, and then cover these details.
Yeah,
good.
But our trickle levels, like the Snake River Dam. Well, 25 gulls. We got a lot of gulls out here. At 25, we don't even look out the window. You're not going to win.
Right.
So, well, we get up around 200 or so, we really start getting our attention.
Carl, the one thing I mentioned that I was a little concerned about was the stepped approach you took for the trigger. Yeah. Whether it's better to go, Nathan, I thought I heard you say something about this, whether you go stepped or just throw everything you got at it when you hit your first.
You gotta kind of be careful because, like the propane cans, you know, you don't just want them out there all the time because they get used to them in a heartbeat. So what we're kind of thinking now, once you know it's obvious the numbers are getting up there, you got the hazers, we're going into two shift a day hazing and stuff like that, and just start throwing things at them. But I think that relief of fish will be really critical for that. That and getting boats up inside.
Yeah.
Because the frustrating thing for us in the past is that we're throwing everything at them we have, but people can reach them.
Right.
They finally brought in some of those really expensive long range things, and those help some, but those are like $25 a pop, like that. Really expensive.
That sounds like government price to me.
Yeah.
GSA.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
So I was going to back, I like this step approach.
Okay.
Because the earlier steps are stuff that he can have on site at the dam. He's not going to have a USDA boat crew waiting in the wings, right? That's going to take a while to ramp up that. And they might not be able to pull that off in season. The only way to really contract for that to happen around is maybe you have one boat in each district that's rotating. And that's, it's expensive. It is.
Okay.
No getting around that. So then, is there a way that, is there maybe someone else we can contract with, or even working with USDA to be more flexible with, you know, when somebody really starts hitting 200 and 300 bird numbers that you can pull some kind of handle, you know, something that you can then elevate and say, look, here's our typical number of birds. We just spiked to this. We've already taken these two or three actions. You know, it's not just going to be a 2-day event. You know, it's real dynamic. You know,
all right.
So.
All right.
Okay, well, that's, does stepped approach make sense for anybody else, or is it just the McNary thing, too? I mean,
well, we had to come up with some kind of model, you know, to use, because that's basically what everybody was looking for. So that's what we came up with. But we're really going to approach it from a practical standpoint. You know, how are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
We're not doing well. We're going to start throwing stuff at them.
Yeah.
We're going to keep throwing stuff at them until problems resolved or we have nothing.
Well, you might just say that after 250 or whatever it was, the number, you're just going to go after them as best as you can.
200, 300, you know.
I might throw the other two triggers out, just not put them in there.
Yeah.
Just put your first trigger in and then just figure that you're just going to keep trying more stuff.
Yeah, that's what we call adaptive management.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think I would let it be adaptive after that rather than telling people you're going to have 400 gulls before you pull out your last gun.
Yeah.
That might look better.
Hey, Carl, are you thinking that you're going to be lethal until you reach a certain trigger? Is that kind of what you're thinking? Or?
I would like to see lethal where you get like beyond 100 birds, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of starting to. That's not a lot of engineering, but yeah, keep them really on in the process, and hey, you can get killed in this one out here. You know, that way the booms and the stuff for the pyrotechnics are just failed in the town.
Those are reinforcement measures.
Yeah, right, yeah. You don't really have to drop a lot to get their attention.
Well, you just have to on a routine basis while they're still big.
Right.
Yeah.
You just need to send them fairly frequent reminders.
Okay, well, I think we've got some things to work with here.
Yeah,
if I'd just like to see you guys take another shot at it, and then we can sit down.
For the startup here, then, as I understand it, we're monitoring actively feeding birds in the tailways. We have a table in the weekly report summarizing the daily counts in the mornings.
Anytime.
Whatever you want. But you can even do a lot more. You can do everything that Nathan wants you to do. I'm okay with that.
All that fell out of your questions, Gary.
I am A-okay with his. This is the minimum.
Our biggest problem is a tail race. We used to have a real serious breed problem at the Four Bay, but the Hazers try to figure out a way to keep the grebes out of there. It used to be they'd shoot the grebes, you know, grebes would go under, you know, after you got them, pop back up again. What they do with grebes now, they start out short range, drive them, and then wait for it to pop up, drive again. They just keep going until they're over the grain elevator. They finally give up. You come back about 2 or 3 more hours and do it all over again.
Yeah, they're all back.
We really don't have not that many. We don't have that much of a grief problem since we started using that technique. Our main problem is the headaches is the seagulls and the turrets and the
tailors. I don't care about griefs.
As an update, as you know, the baby portal, all right? So Patricia and I have been working on a spreadsheet, a database that would be either in SharePoint site or like Google spreadsheets where all the projects and us would access to see it. Each project would have their own spreadsheet. Just if you wanted to see it too, you could be permission to look at it. And we kind of got a draft spreadsheet going and that one decided upon unless there's some major objections to the project file.
Sounds like the requirement has changed, so there's a whole bunch of stuff on there that would never.
That's a minimum.
At
the minimum, I just want to see your weekly report.
Why don't we see what people have time to use as we're starting? We're going to have a meeting in April. We'll have some idea by then whether you're getting participation or not. We can have further discussions. But you're right. The minimum is in the weekly report at date, right?
With the quick look out there, maybe turn some gulls, but all the rest of that would be important.
And then
no binoculars, just white birds?
White birds.
That would be defensible.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it's
standard. It's not our standard, though. I mean, we try and standardize for all the projects. And I know we've had some feedback about some want to carry the binoculars, some don't want to carry them, but yet they can't see from side to side. So now they have to count them over here, they have to count them over there. Well, you can take binoculars and have the one zone. But, you know, now if we're just going to be looking at, there's a white bird, is that the way we describe it?
There aren't many white birds out there that we don't care about. And there aren't many, I mean,
that's the thing we need to
there aren't many non-white birds that I do care about. So
what are we all going to be doing?
Right.
Are we going to split her off and everybody's doing their own thing again?
No, no, no.
No, it's going to be one.
No, I want to have some consistency.
That's what this is about. This is the standardization. So we're going to come back with this information. We will have started the season in April, at least at our projects, and talk about how much people are doing towards this.
I mean, I still would really
what
like to get
willing to put forth.
Gulls, terns, and cormorants, I think, are still important. You know, I mean, I'd like to see that if you can do it. But I'm not asking them to sit there and go, out of all this cloud of birds, there's five terns in there. Where'd they go? One. Oh, crap. Where'd he go?
Well, you know, it's important, though, because especially when it's managing colonies.
Seconds.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
I do a lot of bird watching.
You have to remember the level of staff that we're going to.
Yeah, one of the projects already wrapped their bird counts in with their fishway inspection. So it's just kind of like you're already out there, you're taking your other readings, you count your birds, you know, you got your binoculars, it's all good. Like, a lot of them aren't like making a special trip out there just to do the birds.
I think what's being asked is that we focus more on the tail race. I'm aware, at least like years ago at Goose, you're right, fishway inspection, you always counted the birds on the debris boom and anything else in the forebay, and maybe you stopped somewhere at the South Shore entrance and took a look at the tail race. You know, that's sort of changed. I'm not exactly sure that the fishway has to be when people do it. I'm hearing that people can walk outside the door maybe, you know, sometime at Lomo and some of these other projects.
Exactly.
At a convenient time of day, make it count.
It should be fairly consistent, you know, I mean, in terms of the view. If you're standing in a certain spot every day, taking your look, I think that's the important thing.
Taking hours.
But you can stand out here and look at the tail race of this dam, and you can see the birds.
With binoculars.
Hmm?
I said, with binoculars.
You can, or without.
Our separator booth operator.
With binoculars, you've got a field of view that's much narrower.
Which is important for like an owl flag, for example.
Oh, it is, yeah. If you're trying to count birds species.
That's why you skip.
So the idea is not an accurate count, it's just an index.
Yeah, really, a good index.
That's the worst thing you can say right now.
Oh, okay.
It's
shooting right in the foot. Well, I would like to have as good a count as you can make it. Yes. But I think it's silly to stand there and try to count every bird in the tail race.
Most projects, I don't think it's silly, but if you've got 200 odd birds, it's more difficult, but it's not impossible. That's why you got to
end. If there's 10 birds, you can do it, but if there's 300, then
this is just counting. Try counting from a plane at 200 feet off the deck at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah,
that's trouble.
That's a difficult count.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got a plane, maybe we could just do some flyovers every time we have an issue and let the plane break them up.
Not
just buzz the field. Okay.
We good?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks, everybody. Tammy, you got to close here. Thanks for your efforts, Gary. I think this has kind of given us a path forward.
I'll get a memo out.
We're at the point where weeklies, at least for Walla Walla, have started going out. I think we're on the second week, so maybe in another week or so we can start getting something like this table put in. I don't know what's for your guys' schedule.
He's already doing it.
Oh, okay.
I sent out your table.
Oh, good.
Thank you. And I'll get a memo out.
Thank you all for coming with Gary today. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Carl. I need a space for 50 people. I don't think it's probably going to be it.
We just had one try, but it's not a big thing. able to transmit.